Okay, we're back in Matthew chapter 9, and we have it's a little bit loud here. If I was to summarize where we've been in the last, in the Gospel of Matthew, I would say we first looked at the person of Jesus, his lineage, who he was from, that he was the Son of Man, but he was the Son of God. We not only looked at his person, but we saw the presenting of Jesus as John the Baptist baptized him and saw the Spirit of God descending upon him as a dove. We saw the proclamation of Jesus, and that is his preaching and the Sermon on the Mount and the incredible words that he had to teach us. And we saw the power of Jesus, and that's where we are. We're still in this section on the power of Jesus Christ. We saw that he had power to heal. Amen? Power to heal. We saw that he had power over nature. Even the wind and the waves obey him. We saw that he had power over demons. Even legions of demons, even thousands of them, had to fall down and worship Jesus Christ. And now, today, we look at the power to forgive sins. And we might look at that one and say, well, you know, those other ones sound much more powerful. And we're going to see in the story that we have in the scriptures here, maybe familiar to many of you, but there's a lesson to be learned here. And what is of most importance, of most importance. And so let's pray. Lord, take the scriptures, open them up to us, give us understanding. Holy Spirit, come into this room and into our minds and our hearts. Turn us away from everything else and let us focus on you, Lord, and do something marvelous for your name's sake. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. So this is after healing the demoniac, the two of them on the other side of the lake, he goes back over to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was the place, remember, where he had recently healed Peter's mother-in-law. And it seems that that was his home base, was Capernaum. While he was ministering around the Sea of Galilee, he kept going back to Capernaum. And I think he hung around with Peter's at Peter's place. Because that's where they were whenever he had done that healing. And so that's why he says he came to his own city. He kind of took ownership of that city. It was kind of the place where he was more at home. And so he goes back over after leaving the Gadarene country. And then it says, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Now in this Matthew's gospel, it doesn't say who brought to him a paralytic who was laying on a bed. And then it says when Jesus saw their faith. But I want to go ahead just a bit and look in Mark's gospel and get a little bit more of the background. Who brought this man? What was his condition? And how did they get him to Jesus? And so it says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Do you notice that? He didn't just say, okay, I've got a sermon to preach on the mountain, then I'm going to go and heal. He continued to preach the word. The word of God changes our lives, friends. It affects us. It causes us to hear and see how things really are. And so he preached the word to them. And so then they came to him, bring a paralytic who was carried by four men. So now we find out who brought him to Jesus. Four men had a friend. Obviously, they must have been his friends or relatives. And they saw their paralytic friend who was completely unable to move. And they heard that somebody could do something for him. And his name was Jesus Christ. So what do? They carry him. Well, that was nice of them, wasn't it? They carried him. He couldn't carry himself. He couldn't get there. You know, there's a great picture here of what God wants us to do. He wants us to bring others to Jesus. How are we going to do that? Yeah, like, I don't want to carry, you know, Jordan. I don't know, John Mark, or, you know, I don't want to carry Colin, or I don't want to carry you guys. And my back is too sore for that, right? And they made sure that there was enough people carrying so that the weight wasn't too heavy. But the carrying that we can do is to bring them in prayer to God. Amen. That we can bring them to Jesus. you had this incredible privilege. If you want to, if there's somebody that has a need, that you can come to God for them and bring before God their need. You're bringing them to Jesus in this way. That's a great privilege, isn't it? We can be a friend to people by carrying them to Jesus. We can be a friend by bringing them to Jesus. You know, we're going to look at not today, but at some of the next miracles that we see these ones bringing people to Jesus. We have another situation where Jesus is brought to the place where the person was, where Jairus came looking for help for his daughter, and he said, I will come with you. So he brought Jesus to them. And then we see another story where the person themselves was coming to Jesus. But in this case, four friends see their need, the need of this paralytic, and says, I'm going to take him to Jesus. So while they're taking him, if I got this on here, yeah. While they're taking him to Jesus, they come across the crowd. The house is jam-packed with people. Everybody wants to hear the words of Jesus Christ. Oh, that it would be in Shetty Camp, that everybody wants to hear the words of Jesus Christ. That it would be so in Margaree and throughout Cape Breton Island, that there would be a hunger for the Word of God. And sometimes in places we have seen where that happens, where a whole community suddenly realizes their need of God. I was mentioned earlier to the Welsh Revival, not in this message, but I was talking to Rochelle. And in the Welsh Revival in the early 1900s, around 1901, 1902, there was a man who began to cry out to God that there would be many souls saved in Wales. His name was Evan Roberts. And he began to cry out to God and pray and pray. And all of a sudden, he had a vision from God of God writing out a check for 100,000 souls. And he was so sure that that was a vision from God, that he began to say, he told people, he said, God has told me that I will see 100,000 souls saved in 1 year. God has written out a check for it, and I believe it. And he began to preach, and he went from community to community, and suddenly a great move of God happened. People began to become hungry for God. Churches began to be packed, filled. In the doors, people were gathered in the windows, looking in, trying to hear the word of the Lord. And before that year was out, 100,000 people had put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I can tell you that the bars and the pubs and the taverns were angry. Because as the churches filled, the taverns emptied. You can still, if you actually, you can look at the newspapers of that day. In the newspapers of that day, there are pictures of tavern people, the tavern man standing out in front of his tavern looking for people and nobody coming. And then the church next door all packed with people. It was an incredible move of God. And it has not only happened in Wales, but it's happened before. Oh, that there would be a mighty turning to God to come and hear the word of the Lord, just as these people gathered around to hear Jesus. Jesus is still here today, friends. The gospel is still true today, and he can use people like you and me to share that truth and cause people to come under conviction and have their need of God in their lives. And when Jesus does something, it changes their lives. Not only did 100,000 people say they believed in Jesus, but they began to follow Jesus. That's why the pubs emptied out. And the crime cleaned up. It was an incredible time. I just can't help but tell you another quick story. I don't know if I told you this story before, but in Ireland, there was a time of great move of God when a man was preaching, and he came to preach in Ireland, and he was down by the dockyards. Did I tell you this story? He was down by the dockyards preaching, and the shipbuilders were all, it was the greatest shipbuilding place in the world, in Ireland, in Belfast. And the workers began to go to the meetings and got converted. Thousands of men working. Even like one ship took thousands. That's where the Titanic was built and all these other big ships, right? And thousands of workers came to faith in Jesus Christ. And when they did, they fell under conviction for all the stuff they had stolen. And they wanted to, they didn't know what to do. They knew they had stolen this stuff. So they went to the company and they said, we've stolen stuff. This is what we took. We want to bring it back. And whatever you want to do with us. So many men came back with stuff that they built a warehouse that still stands today. A huge warehouse, hundreds of feet long. And they filled it with returned goods. Because these men were convicted of their sin and their lives were changed. It got so bad so good in a way that the company said, listen, we forgive anybody who ever took anything and don't bring anything more back. Because they couldn't do anything with it. That's the power of God. That's what God can do in many lives, but listen, that's what God can do in one life as they come to Jesus. And so what happens here as the people gathered around to hear the word of God, it's my prayer that people will gather around to hear the word of God, not just necessarily in this building, that they will hear the word of the Lord, that they'll pick up Bibles, that they'll read them, that they'll hear what Jesus Christ can do and who he really is and discover his great power. Well, these men had just heard about his great power, and so they brought four men, tried to get to Jesus, but they did have a problem. What was it? They couldn't come near because of the crowd. There was a problem. They couldn't get near Jesus. Now, I want you to know that that problem is no longer around. Jesus was physically, could only be in one place. Well, I suppose he could have been in 10 if he wanted to. But he had come to become a man, and he was in one place at one time. But now, because he is risen up on high, and because we have access, the Bible says, to the throne of grace, we can bring anybody to Jesus at any time. And you don't have to try to get through the crowd. But one thing you do need to do is to persist before the Lord. To make it a point, Lord, I'm going to come before you and I'm going to bring him before you. I'm going to bring this need before you. Don't just pray once, but pray often. Pray for people. Lift them up that God would touch their lives and change their lives. Pray for one another. Pray for the needs that other people have. Don't turn it into a gossip column. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, the first thing when you hear somebody has a situation or a problem, don't go tell somebody else. Tell God. Bring it to God first. Once you pray about it enough, maybe you'll be a little more careful about what you say to others. Only in the place of prayer. Sometimes we can use prayer as almost a gossip reason. Don't do that. Take it so that it can be brought to in prayer. Doesn't mean we shouldn't share with others. If it's not in confidence, we can share with others. And that's okay. But here they were. They couldn't get near Jesus because of the crowd. So what did they do? They uncovered the roof where he was. Well, it was likely Peter's house. And Peter, I can just imagine, you know, they're all crowded in the house and just jammed with people. He's preaching and there's people outside all gathered around. And these guys climb around the outside, get up on the roof. They can lift this guy up, right? They got to get him up on top of the roof. And then they break up the roof. Now, it's not the kind of roofs we have today. It would be more of a flat roof with tiles. But they tear the tiles off. And you can imagine sitting in this room and all of a sudden pieces start falling down on the people. Can you imagine? The racket that went on in there? What's going on? And all of a sudden, these guys' heads peep out, and then they lower a body down. A paralyzed guy right in front of Jesus. They were not going to give up, were they? They were determined. They didn't come to the house and say, oh, look, too big a crowd. Let's go somewhere else. We'll take them another day. No, today was the day. Now was the time. It is immediacy. There is urgency. So we're going to get our friend to Jesus no matter what. We're going to make it a priority. Oh, friends, that we could make that a priority to be blessing others and crying out to God for others and getting the opportunity to share with others any way that we can to bring them to Jesus, to give them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so they brought him. They let him down on the bed where the paralytic was lying. Now, what's interesting here is it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. So we go back to Matthew's gospel because we've looked at and we can see that Jesus said the same thing here in Matthew's gospel 9:2. He saw their faith, it says. Whose faith? That's right. The four men, he saw their faith. And what did he say? To the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven you. Now, first of all, I want you to encourage you that your faith can go a long way to help somebody else come to faith. Right? Your faith. You can stand in the gap for other people. You can pray for other people. You can lift up other people. You can help other people. You can draw other people to Jesus by your words and by your conduct, by how you live, how you walk and how you talk. You can help other people come to Jesus. Jesus saw their faith. Their faith God responded to their faith, and he'll respond to your faith too as you work to help others. Yes, Colin.
Paralytic. He was paralytic to begin with, right? So he had the disease, right?
Yes.
So basically, some people read that dead on, right? They look at a face value, two dimensional.
Yeah.
What they see is, well, he's supposed to be healed for his disease.
Right? Yes. Yes, he had something more urgent that needed to happen to him. And that's why Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer." Now, that must have been encouraging when they heard those words. Oh, he's going to do something. He's going to do something. We got our friend here. We went through all of this. These guys were in earnest, weren't they? They weren't fooling around. They were, oh, we've got him here. We've got him right in front of Jesus now. And he says, "Son, be of good cheer. Oh, it's going to happen." And then he says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Huh? What were they expecting? A healing. They were expecting him to be made whole, physically made whole. And your sins are forgiven you? What's this? Look at the reaction of the Pharisees, the scribes who were there. And at once, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes. This is blasphemy. This is almost like swearing against God. He can't forgive sins." This is what they thought. And really, they actually say in Mark's gospel, they said, nobody can forgive sins except for God. So who does this man think he is saying that your sins are forgiven? But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" And he asked this question. You know, Jesus often taught with a question. So sometimes I ask you questions so you don't fall asleep. He said, "For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk?" Now, I know we've been over this ground before, but I want you to tell me, which was easier for Jesus to do? Say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Why is rise up and walk easier than saying your sins are forgiven? Because in order for Jesus to heal him, all he had to do was speak it and it would be done. But in order for Jesus to forgive this man, he would have to suffer on that cross. Right? What Jesus was saying, listen, do you really understand? If you think healing this man is the greatest thing, I want you to know what the greatest thing is the forgiveness of his sins. If you think healing this man is difficult, I want you to know that the forgiveness of his sins is more difficult than the healing. Because God created the worlds. What did God say in the beginning? Was the Word was with God. And immediately, God said in Genesis chapter 1, "Let there be." And what happened? There was light. So if God, all God has to do to create something is just speak it. All God has to do is to heal someone is just to say it and it will be done. He has that power and authority, right? And this is what Jesus is getting across to them. It's not difficult to heal. Not for God. But in order to forgive the sins of any person on this planet, God had to become a man. He just couldn't forgive sins unless the punishment was paid for it, or God would be unjust. Justice always demands punishment for the crime. Has to have it. And if justice demands punishment for the crime, then in order for your sins to be forgiven, anyone's sins to be forgiven in the history of the human race, someone has to take the punishment for those sins. If you want forgiveness, you have to be punished. Or someone has to be punished. Now the truth of the matter is, if you're going to be punished for them, you're lost for eternity. Because that's the punishment for sin. But God sent his son Jesus Christ to the cross. Which is more difficult? It was to forgive your sins and mine. Because in order for your sins to be forgiven, Jesus had to walk the lonely road to Calvary. Jesus had to allow them to whip and his back raw. He had to allow them to thrust a crown of thorns upon his head. And to push him to Calvary and have him there thrust before the world, naked before the world. In absolute shame and agony, being cursed, because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and me. Now, the fact is that he hadn't gone to the cross yet, but it was assured that he was going to go to the cross. Did you know that later on in the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world? In the mind of God, in the eyes of God, it was already accomplished. So he could forgive this man's sins. And that's why people have asked me, well, what about people in the Old Testament? How are their sins forgiven? Through what Jesus did on the cross. At any time through the history of the human race, it's what Christ did on the cross. When he died for your sins and my sins, he made the opportunity available for our sins to be forgiven. And I want to encourage you by this. It wasn't so much this man's faith that brought him there. It was the faith of his friends that brought him to that place where his sins could be forgiven. And it was God who stepped into his life here. You see, the man didn't say, oh God, please forgive my sins, please forgive my sins, please forgive my sins. Did the paralytic say that? He didn't say anything, right? He was just being brought for healing. But he got more. And here's the good news. You come to Jesus for what you think you're going to get, and he'll give you more. You'll get more. Because that's the kind of God he is. There's more with Jesus. Keep coming to Jesus because there's more with Jesus. Bring others to Jesus because there's more with Jesus. You'll be praying for someone and you'll ask God to do something. God can do more. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or even imagine. Ephesians chapter 3. That's the kind of God that he is. And Jesus says to this man, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or say, arise and walk. Do you know at that moment when he had said to that man, your sins are forgiven you? They really were. Now, here's the question for you today. Are your sins forgiven? Are they forgiven?
Yes.
You know, God could heal you. God could deliver you from all kinds of things. He could deliver you from lying, cheating, stealing, drinking, drugs, whatever it might be. From pride, from hypocrisy, from gossip. He could deliver you from all those things. But I still want to ask this question. Are your sins forgiven?
Yes.
Because if they're not, it doesn't matter what you get delivered from. You need to make sure that your sins are paid for. Do you understand that? You can be the nicest living person you want to be. You can try your best. You can turn over a new leaf. You can live a different life than you did before. But are your sins forgiven? Think about this guy. He was totally paralyzed. He wanted to get healed. And Jesus goes to the heart of the issue. And this is the heart of the issue for every person. Are your sins forgiven? Do you know that Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, took all the punishment for all the sins that you ever did and ever will commit? Do you know that? And if you know that and you receive that for yourself, then you're going to be like this guy. You know, at the end of the story, he goes home rejoicing. But I believe he goes home rejoicing, yes, because he was physically healed. But he goes home rejoicing because his sins were forgiven. Because that's the biggest miracle of all. That's the miracle everyone needs. And all I wanted to tell you that this is what changes your destination for eternity. Supposing I go along and I meet Jesus and I get physically healed. Isn't that wonderful? It would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Supposing today I had a bad disease and I asked God to heal me and I got healed. That would be wonderful. But guess what's going to happen to this body? It's going to die again. It's going to go down to the ground, isn't it? It's going to get sick and it's going to decay. It's going to go. But God is more interested in your soul's matter than your physical matter because he knows this is all temporary. We focus more on the temporary, don't we? We see that here with these guys. And that's not abnormal. It's natural because that's what we see. It's what we know. But God wants us to focus on the supernatural. He wants us to focus on the reality of where is my soul headed for eternity? Am I going to be in hell or am I going to be in heaven? That depends on whether your sins are forgiven. And how do I get them forgiven? Oh, well, I got to go through this guy. Some guy's got to get them forgiven for me. Or this person, or that person. Or I have to, I have to do penance. I'm going to have to get a whip and whip myself for a while. Maybe my sins will be forgiven then. Or if I try really hard and I'm really good, I'm going to get forgiven. No, you're not. Let's put it this way. Supposing I murdered somebody. And I killed them dead. And I guess they would be dead if I killed them, right? Okay. So I killed a guy, right? And somehow, before they caught me, I said, gee, I killed somebody. I better go out and help some people to make up for this. So I go out and, you know, I see old lady, hey, let me help you across the street. And I make a list of everything I've done. And then I get caught. I get before the judge. The judge says, what do you got to say for yourself? Well, judge, since I killed that person, you know, I helped 10 old ladies across the street. I helped a guy out of the ditch one day. So I have a long list of things. So what's the judge going to say? Okay, then, you can go out free? Why not? Because that I did all the things I should, those things I should have done. But I have to, the punishment has to fit the crime, right? And we don't understand how serious our sin is before God. Your sin is serious enough that you'll be lost for eternity for one sin. That's how bad sin is in the sight of God Almighty. One sin will put you in hell. But one Savior will take you all the way to heaven. One Savior. Just by trusting in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Completely. Not held against you. Clean as the driven snow in the sight of Almighty God in a moment of time by simply believing in Jesus Christ. That's what God offers to us. That's what was given to this man. And that's why this is more important than all the physical things we could pray for. Oh, Lord, please help me with this. Oh, Lord, please. And we should pray for physical things. We should bring every matter to the Lord in prayer. We should bring circumstances before God in prayer. But we should bring our souls to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to accept you in my life for the forgiveness of sins. You can do that. You can do that today. Millions have come and they've trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And when you do, then your soul is saved forever. Whatever else God has done in your life is a good thing. But this is what he wants to do most of all, to bring you to the place where you know that Jesus Christ has completely and wonderfully died for your sins. And so he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power. There's the power. Power on earth to forgive sins. Power right now to forgive sins. So that you might know this for sure, he says to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Take up your bed and walk. Go to your home. Joe.
There's two things jump out at me. It says, where's the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?
Yes.
And then the other thing is, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven.
Yeah.
That's all I think about when I deny my
Right. It's one way or the other. You can't have your sins and have heaven. They don't go together. But you can have the full pardon for your sins. Not by earning it, by simply receiving it as a free gift. And that's the good news. It's wonderful. And so, he says, I want you, this is a testimony. This healing is to show you that I can forgive sins, that I have that power. I have the power to forgive sins. Isn't it good to know somebody has the power to forgive sins? I think I've said this before, but if a screen came up right now, and every issue of your life was put up on that screen. Everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done was all displayed on a screen. You know what you'd want to do? Things you thought? You'd want to turn that off, wouldn't you? Do you know on the day of judgment, that screen will be played if you don't have Christ. But if you settle out of court by coming to Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Savior, on the day of judgment, there won't be one sin to your account. Amen. That's your only hope. I can tell you today, it's your only hope, and it's the most important thing that could ever happen. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, He promises the full pardon for your sins. He promises, whoever believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. They shall never perish. He says, nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're grafted in. It's promised. And so what happens? He says, just so you know that I have the power to forgive sins, take up your bed and go home. And he arose and departed to his house. In Luke's gospel, it says, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. praising the Lord. Wow. He was glorifying the Lord. Changed on the inside and the outside. You don't just want to get changed on the outside. You want to get changed on the inside, right? That's where it really counts, isn't it? You know, before you accept Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, God's working from the outside in. But he wants to work from the inside out in your life and mine. Absolutely. Yeah, you don't lose anything in the long run. Life here is just a snap, that's all. It's just a vapor, the Bible says. We're just here today, gone tomorrow, just like that. But eternity is forever. And to be forever with God because our sins are forgiven, because Christ died for them, because we've trusted him. That's what matters. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. They were amazed that there could be this kind of power to raise someone up from being paralyzed, but a greater power, that is the forgiveness of sin. So as we saw, yes, Christ has the power to heal. Christ has the power over the spiritual world, the demons. He has the power over nature. But the power to forgive sins is what carries down to this day that's most important of all, that people's sins can be completely forgiven. Leave you with that question, and may you be able to answer with assurance, I know that my sins are forgiven because I have trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you have questions, if somehow you're missing this and you don't quite understand what I'm saying, you ask me, talk to me, and we can look together in the Word of God and we can see how you can be sure today there's an urgency that your sins are forgiven. Just like there was an urgency to get this guy to Jesus, I feel an urgency to get everyone to Jesus because I know what he can do. And I tell you, it changes everything when you have him on the inside.
Even in the worst of times, like, you know, once he anoints your heart and saves you, and you believe, as we know, we have to believe from the core of our being. We can't believe just superficially or intellectually or whatever. If you believe from your heart, and sometimes you have to be down there, you know, you're very low.
Yeah.
And once you do believe, okay, I'm 25 years and I know this much of all the falls and the bad stuff I've done, okay?
Yeah.
God forgive me for that. That when I search, even in doubt, in my lowest times, okay, my lowest ends, I knew because in the heart there was a light there in my mind, in my whole, the core of my being, there was a light there still.
Yeah.
That's
what he promised. He says, I will never leave you. He promises it. It's a promise that he won't back off on. Will I fail him? Absolutely. Will I sin? I will. And I'm not done sinning yet. I'm still living. I wish I could say I'll never sin till I die. But it's not hard to sin, is it?
No.
No. But he already died for that sin. Forgiveness has already been given to me. In terms of judgment, in terms of hell, in terms of the wrath of God, it's all fell on Jesus. In terms of fellowship, I want to stay close to God, so I do ask for forgiveness when I sin now, but not so that I'll be saved, but just so that my fellowship with God will stay where it's supposed to be.
The thief on the cross, all you have to say is, remember me when the cross was coming, and told me, today.
Amen. That's right, Leonard.
There's no tomorrow or the day after or in a week or a month.
It's the best news on the planet. It's the biggest kept secret. Share it. Bring others to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you. There's always something for us to learn. And Lord, we pray that we'll not just learn it in our heads, but with our hearts. That we'll be people who are bringing others to Jesus, and that people will come to Jesus, that we could know for certain the forgiveness of sins, and that brings the greatest rejoicing. Thank you, Father. Bless our food and fellowship today. In Jesus' name, amen.